our study, where we're basically going to be looking at what the articles of faith in the typical Baptist church, ours in particular, has to say. And they're listed, they're put in order of sorts. So there's not going to be an outline, there's just going to be a reviewing of these things and what the statements and the articles of faith have to say. Tonight, coinciding with the reading that we've had, we're looking at the book of the church, and that's, of course, the Bible. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. What do we believe about the Bible? What do we believe about the Bible? First of all, we believe the Bible, the Holy Scriptures, were written by men, inspired by God. Written by men and inspired by God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 19 through 21. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Peter talks about being an eyewitness of some things. He spoke about the apostles being eyewitness to the glory of Christ, the majesty of Christ, and he spoke of their bearing witness to what they saw. And it's in that light that he says we have a more sure word of prophecy. We don't have just an eyewitness. We don't have just what somebody says they saw, though reliable it may be. We have a more sure word of prophecy in the Bible, scriptures. And we do well to take heed unto it. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Holy men of old wrote the Scriptures. They wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. When we talk about holy men of old writing the Scriptures based upon their being inspired, we do not believe that God gave them a spark, gave them a thought that was inspirational, and then let them run with the idea and write whatever they came up with. When we speak of inspiration, we believe the Scriptures are God-breathed. I think simplest way to put it, God dictated through the Holy Spirit to the holy men of old what it was he wanted his word to say. In the book of Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 1, verse 16. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost, by the mouth of David, spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. And the prophecies concerning Judas, David spoke, David wrote, that which was recorded of David was given to him of the Holy Ghost, of the Holy Spirit. In chapter 3 of Acts, chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So we believe the Bible was written, recorded by men as they were inspired, what words they were to write, by God, by the Holy Spirit. The Bible is a wonder in and of itself. The Bible is a miracle in and of itself. I lost track of the exact quote, so I have to adjust it a little bit. Still says the same thing. But the Bible was written by dozens of individuals over a span of about 1,500 years. And it came out the perfect Word of God. That's miraculous. Men from all different walks of life, different places in the world, different upbringings, different status in the world, unbeknownst to each other most of the time, over hundreds of years, Scripture was recorded, and it all fitly frames together to be the perfect Word of God. The next statement we find that we believe about the Bible is that it is a perfect treasure of instruction. Perfect treasure of instruction. And I think to understand what that means, you just have to look at those three words. It's not difficult. The Bible is perfect, pure, flawless. It is a treasure, or it is a resource of instruction. It is a perfect treasure of instruction. In the book of Psalm 19, Psalm 19, verse 7 and 8. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. It is perfect. It is right. It is pure. It is sure. It is the perfect treasure of of instructions. And that's quite a conviction to have. It's quite radical, once again, to believe that there is such a book written by anyone, anywhere in the world, that could be said to be perfect. But we say that about the Bible. We say that without apology about the Word of God. It is perfect. It is pure. It is flawless. 2 Timothy chapter 3, which we could have gone to start with tonight, begin the examination of these things. But we go here now to show that it is a perfect treasure of instruction. And in 2 Timothy 3, verse number 16, all Scripture, soak that in, all Scripture, not most, all Scripture. Do not read it like the modernists do. Do not read it like the modern translators and scriptural critics read it. Do not read it to say all Scripture that is inspired of God is profitable. Read it to say all Scripture is inspired, is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So it is a perfect treasure of instruction. Obviously, God is its author. It was written by men who were moved by the Holy Spirit as God inspired them. We come back to this thought, God is the author of this book. You're holding, most of you are, within your hands, a book that was written by the God of heaven, the eternal, holy, perfect God, the only God that there is. In 2 Peter 1, where we were earlier, 2 Timothy 3, both affirm the fact that God is the author of this blessed book we call the Bible. While we're still here in 2 Timothy 3, the next point we come to is, it's written by men inspired by God. It is a perfect treasure of instruction. God is its author. Salvation is its end. Salvation is its ultimate message. It is the history of redemption, the history of God providing for the salvation of those he had chosen and placed in Christ before the foundation of this earth. And if you back up just a verse here in 2 Timothy 3, Paul says to Timothy in verse 15, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, and at this particular time that would have been mostly the Old Testament, maybe some of the New Testament epistles may have been circulating. But he says that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. I think of John 3:16, for God so loved the world he gave his only begotten Son. And whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Scripture is able to make one wise to their need of salvation. It's able to make one wise to how salvation comes about. And the message of Scripture always brings us to the point that in order to be saved, one must put their faith in, one must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Scriptures are the written Word of God. Jesus is the incarnate Word of God. The Scriptures reveal to us the Savior from cover to cover. The first example of salvation is in Genesis chapter 3, when God slew those animals in a picture of what Christ would one day be required to do for the salvation of his people. The Scriptures make you wise. 2023, there is nothing new. There's no new means. There's no new messages. There's no new ways that one is going to come about salvation. If you're here and you're lost, you're going to be saved by the old black book. You're going to be saved through the message of the old black book. The Scriptures are always going to be able to make one wise unto salvation. John chapter 5. John 5. John 5, verse 39. Jesus, seen as speaking here, says, "Search the Scriptures." And he was speaking to these, I believe, Pharisees. And he tells them to search the Scriptures, and they would have only had mostly the Old Testament to refer to. Certainly none of the epistles of the New Testament had been written yet, and the Gospels were still being fulfilled and carried out. Jesus says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life." They think they have eternal life through them because of what they were reading, but they were misreading. They were reading self-righteousness. They were reading, keep the law and you're going to be saved. They were reading that they were able by their traditions and their customs to be saved. But he tells them, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. Search them because they are they which testify of me. Search the Scriptures, you're going to hear about Jesus. The message of Jesus Christ is the message of salvation. In John chapter 17, John 17, reading verse 17, we come to the next point. We believe the Scriptures, the Word of God, is truth. Truth. Is there such a thing as truth? Yes, there is. The Scriptures is truth. Is there such a thing as absolute truth? Yes, there is such a thing as absolute truth. Scripture is absolute truth. We believe that Scripture is truth without any mixture of error. It's not 80%, it's not 90%, it's 100% truth. There isn't the slightest hint of error or falseness in it. And he says there in verse 17 of John 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Well, what's truth? Thy word is truth. God's word is truth. Go back to the book of Proverbs, chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5 and 6. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Every word of God is pure. All Scripture is truth, without any mixture of error. You read verse 6 of Proverbs 30 here, and you come to the next point that is made in our statement of faith, and that is that the Scriptures are not to be added to, they're not to be taken away from. Nothing is to be erased. Nothing is to be removed. Nothing is to be explained away. Nothing is said, disregard that, because it's questionable. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Not a single word, not a single verse, not a single chapter. It is pure. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. And we're not going to get into it, but I believe it can be supported by Scripture that people who trifle with the Word of God, add to it, take away from it, mess with Holy Scripture, one day going to be held accountable to God for trifling with His Word. Revelation chapter 22. Revelation 22. Verse number 18 and 19. Well, let's read verse 20 also. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. I think it's very poignant that surely I come quickly is added there in verse number 20. Right after he says, don't add to the book. Don't take away from the book. You add to or you take away from the book, God's going to hold you and God's going to judge you. God's going to hold you accountable. In these days in which we're living, waiting for the coming of Jesus Christ, we need to realize he's coming. Surely he comes quickly. So that doesn't mean what we need to do is make adjustments and come up with plan B to get more results. We need to be more determined than ever to stay with plan A. We need to be more determined than ever to believe that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it's not to be added to, it's not to be taken away from, because Jesus is coming quickly. And you don't want to be found adding to or taking away from Holy Scripture. Now, I'm not so sure, but that the Revelator, John, is speaking about the prophecy of this book that he's most likely talking about, Revelation. The book of Revelation, and not to add to, but I believe it can be applied to the whole book that has come before also, scripturally, without adding to or taking away from the scriptural record. The Bible contains the principles God expects of us. We say we believe that. Baptists say they believe that. How am I supposed to live? What am I supposed to do? What am I not supposed to do? How am I supposed to conduct myself? Right here. Right here. This is the Word of God, and it contains the principles God expects of us. And it also contains the principles by which He will judge us one day. He's going to judge us, and it's going to be according to what He's told us in His Word. I can't help but be moved by, not get away from, Revelation 20. Revelation 20 has the Great White Throne Judgment. And John saw the dead, the lost, small and great, lost people of all walks of life, stand before the Great White Throne Judgment. And they were judged according to what was found in the books. Certainly the Book of Life has to be one of those books. See if their name is written. Surely there must be reference there to the book or the books of record concerning the way a person lived their life. They're going to be judged according to their work, Scripture tells us. But I believe most definitely one of the books that the dead, small and great, are going to be judged out of is the Holy Scripture. Because it's the standard of Jesus Christ, and the standard of Jesus Christ is going to be raised up against them, and they're going to be cast into the lake of fire. God has given us His Word, and it's with these principles that He will one day judge us. In John chapter 12, John 12, verse 46, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Jesus said, I didn't come to judge the world. Don't get carried away with that. Don't go too far with what He says there. He didn't come into this world to judge it. He came into this world to save His people. That wasn't part of His mission here. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judges him. I believe Christ is deferring to Almighty God. It's God's Word. It's the principles He expects of us. It's the principles by which He will judge us. And Jesus Christ says, if you hear my word and I speak my word unto you and you reject it, I don't judge you. That's God's business. Now we know there's a reversal of sorts in the scriptures that God has given all judgment back to Christ. So you got to read this in its context. At this particular time, Christ didn't come to judge the world. He came to save his people. At this particular time, he's saying, if you refuse my word, you have one that judges you, and that's God. Once this time has passed and the work is finished and he's back at the right hand of the Father, then it can be seen as having judgment turned back to Christ. But it plainly teaches us that Scripture contains those principles by which we're going to be judged. You don't like the book, you think it's narrow? That's all right. Dare I say that you're right? You have the right to see it as narrow, and you have the right to refuse it. But God has the right to judge you according to it. And God has promised and has committed to himself through his word and through the words of Jesus Christ. He has committed himself to judging those who refuse to obey, who refuse to believe, who refuse to hear his word. Psalm 119. I reckon to do Psalms 119 justice, we ought to read the whole book, a whole chapter. Because the theme and the thought of Psalm 119 is the book. The commandments, the principles, the precepts. It's all about the Word of God. But we're not going to put you through that. But in Psalm 119... Verse 89, Word of God says, Psalmist says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. We believe that the Bible is God delivered. He delivered his word to his people. God preserved, he has preserved it up to this very hour. And the Word of God still exists and is still on this world, planet Earth. And I believe we'll be able to be found until the end. It is God delivered, it is God preserved, and it is eternal. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. The Bible is the supreme standard, the all-sufficient source, the final rule of faith and practice. The supreme standard, the all-sufficient source, the final rule of faith and practice. We believe, as you heard when it was read from our own Constitution, we believe that the King James Bible is God's word for English-speaking people to the exclusion of all others. I have studied the subject many times over for the last 44 plus years. Churches have studied it. You've probably heard it preached and taught and studied. We believe the King James Bible is the Word of God in relationship to the proper manuscript line. We believe it's the Word of God because of the translation style that was found, observed in the translating of the King James Bible. We believe it is the Word of God because of the money-free, the commercial-free line that the Word of God came to us. Nobody has a copyright on the Bible. It's not about profit and loss. It's not about making money. And whether or not you like all that or not, doesn't change the fact that the church constitution says we will use the King James Version with the exclusion of all others in mind. And I just got to bring it down as low as I can. That means nobody should teach. Nobody should preach. No one should be allowed to teach or to preach who's using a different translation of the scriptures. It's just that matter of fact, and that's about as narrow as I can make it. Irregardless of who stands in this pulpit. It's not optional what version of the Bible they use. And I'm not going to get into it. We do not worship the King James Version of the Bible. We worship the God of the Bible. But we do, without apology, believe that this is God's Word. It is without error. It is pure. It is that supreme standard, the all-sufficient source. It is the final rule of faith and practice to us. And I shouldn't say this. I'll say it, though, because I know I'm not opening any doors or cracking any windows where somebody might try something. But it'll take an act of this church, according to the guidelines laid out in our Constitution, it'll take an act of this church going through the proper steps to change the Constitution in regards to the King James Version of the Bible. So be on guard. Don't let anybody mess with the Word of God. It's written by men, inspired of God. It is a perfect treasure of instruction. God is its author. Salvation is its end. Truth without any mixture of error. Not to be added to or taken away from. It's the principles that God expects us to live by. It's the principles by which He will judge us. He delivered His Word, preserved His Word. It is eternal. This book we hold within our hands is one book that you can find in heaven. Sounds corny, but you reckon heaven's got a library? Wonder what book you're going to find there. You're going to find the Word of God. A copy of Scripture, I believe, is in heaven, not just because Jesus is there, but because the Scripture tells us it is settled in heaven, here in Psalm 119, 89. The supreme standard, all-sufficient source, final rule of faith and practice. I look at, and I read, and I study, because I feel the need to be on top of these things, but I look at the other versions of Scripture, and I can't help but see in these other scriptures, other translations of Scripture, a changing, a toying with, a softening, the out and out removing of Scripture and verses and passages. We ought not to want anything to do with it. There's poison there. There's poison there. And again, as I bring this to a close, how confusing is it if I was to take three different versions of the Bible, place them up here in front of you to look at, how confusing is it to say all three of these translations of the Scripture are all the perfect Word of God? How can you say that? If they're different and there's variances in them and words are omitted and verses and entire passages not found in some that are found in the King James Version of the Bible. I just don't understand why people don't see how important it is to have one version of the Scripture that we hold to without apology. God's not the author of confusion. Let's stand together and have a verse of song.